So this is a true story, Kylie. On Friday, last, by the time this is coming out, it'll probably be a few weeks, but I had day one of my period recently, and I felt like I was dying. I just have a very hard, tough day one. And you know what? The thought really did, this is a true story, it really did cross my mind because we interviewed Christy from Ease recently. And I thought, oh my God, I really wish I had an Ease tool in my hand right now. I think it
Oh,
would be so
Meg,
helpful.
I should have sent you mine. Of
No,
course.
I'm gonna get my own, but
Would have been perfect.
perfect. So for those of you who don't know, what this is a really nifty little tool. You can use it for constipation and to help relieve menstrual cramps. And it's based on the science of acupressure. So putting pressure on specific points around the abdomen that help get the system going. So it relieves constipation. It's really good for menstrual cramps. And it happens to be that we interviewed the founder of this magnificent device just recently, and she's our new sponsor for our show. So we really want you guys to know about this tool, and we really hope that if you're suffering out there with something like constipation or menstrual cramps, that you'll give it a try because it's a really cool thing and just fascinating.
It's absolutely the coolest. And you guys can use our code, Curious Women, or you can visit their website, gowithease.com/Curious Women.
I cannot believe how much fun I had on this episode. Oh my gosh.
Every time I say this, I feel like it might be coming across as if I was expecting the interview to be terrible or something, which of course is never the case. But I'm
No.
just so delighted by how much I wasn't expecting to learn that I did. Like, I have planned in my head now all these little flowers that I want to plant
Oh
in
my
my little
gosh.
planters so that I can use them.
Totally.
We had Lindsay Knecht on today, who is an herbalist. And but I love how she said it. She's more like an herbalist for the common folk, right? What did you call her?
Yeah. I
A
called her.
fairy?
I think I called her an herb fairy or something. I don't remember.
Herb fairy. It's just so perfect. And herbalism is confusing, isn't it?
It's so
Like, it's
confusing.
so
Yeah, it's
overwhelming.
just so broad. And then there's different uses for different parts of the plant, like the flower and the leaf and the stem. And it can just be really overwhelming. And then there's all the crazy varieties of like there's species and different kinds of the same. What we think of as the same plant. And Lindsay just really made it simple and
She made it
accessible.
simple and
Yeah.
accessible and organized. So she went through
Yes.
five different plants that are super commonly found in most areas here in the US, what they do, how you can find them, where you can buy them, and what they do for your body. So,
And yeah.
and your point I thought was really good, Meg, about saying, like, why are we bothering with this? Because this is another tool, right? This is another tool that people can choose to implement as a habit into their everyday life that will impact your overall health and also, right, very specific areas of health depending on what you
Yeah.
might need, and just really kind of inspire people to reconnect to the actual land that we live on
Oh,
without it
totally.
being like overly crunchy and inaccessible. Because when people say, oh, I want to connect to the land, like we all kind of know what that feels like and we relate to it. But when you go to implement it into actual day-to-day practice, like what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah.
Right?
No,
It's
it's perfect.
confusing because we've been
Yeah.
so removed from it. So she
Right.
really helped boil that down, don't you think?
I agree. And I also think it's really cool that we're talking about herbs because when we think about where medicine comes from, medicine originated from plants. And now
Medicinal
it's
herbs.
right. It's so far removed now that everything's made in a lab, obviously. But the point of it is that it came from plants originally. And so being able to come back to that and sort of take your health into your own hands in another way by using herbs that are in your backyard or that you can get at the grocery store, I just think it's really liberating. And I had so much fun. There was a lot of tech issues, but a lot of laughs. And I think it's going to be a really enjoyable episode for people to listen to.
Oh, it was really great. So, you guys enjoy Lindsay's gorgeous, inspiring, and grounding information. Enjoy. Lindsay,
Mm-hmm.
we welcome to the shit show today.
Thank you.
And I am so excited to talk to you about the way that I'm feeling about this episode is more like, I want to learn how to forage. Like, tell me what herbs I can go and forage in my area. And I know that's not like, I'm a little different because I'm way out here in the Pacific Ocean. We're not focusing on that today. But the point is,
yeah,
most areas, there might be some.
I'm sure you have plenty more to forage than most of us here. Mainland. So, yeah, you've got lots of native fruits and veggies that grow out there that I don't even have any idea about.
Before we start picking your brain, though, Lindsay, are you drinking anything fun over there?
I am drinking a little hot chai tea, actually.
Oh,
yes, ma'am. Look at that cute little mug.
Yeah, show us the mug. Yeah. Show those that are watching the mug. For those of you who are not watching, Kylie and I are very particular about our mug shapes. And I imagine, I don't know, Kylie, I think this one is a good happy medium between the two of us. What do you think?
That is too big and bulky for my liking. I can't want that.
It's actually not that big.
Is it small? I like something. I actually like no handle on my mug. I like to hold it.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. What's a creature that does this?
Like a goblin? Like a raccoon. I don't know.
Yes, Meg. But that's actually, I didn't know that that's what I was looking for. Yes, a gremlin, a goblin. That's how I prefer to hold my hot beverages. Thank you. Thank you. No offense to your great mug, Lindsay. I can't. Handles are not for me.
It is fully my style, though. I like the round, like, bowl. I love, like, the bowl shape. Yeah, we love that. I'm on board. I'm a fan.
I am uncontrollable today. I hope you don't expect an ounce of professionalism out of me today. It's not going to happen. I'm doing my best. Now, Lindsay, with your chai tea, are you quite particular about your chai? I know chai drinkers can be very specific about the particular type of blend, where do you stand on this issue? Interesting, you don't say.
So I am happy. Well, I'm picky because I don't like a super sweet chai. I have this brand. I actually like to make my own chai blend, which comes
from
being an herbalist. But this is actually a brand.
What brand was it?
It's the Rooibos chai. It has no caffeine, which is nice. No black tea in it.
So. Mm. Oh, that is really... Yeah. Wait, Lindsay, repeat the brand for me.
The Yogi, Y-O-G-I?
Yes, Yogi. Mm. Yes, of course.
And it's Rooibos, Rooibos.
I'm really happy I know how to pronounce that word, because that's another... For those of you listening, no, I'm not great with words in general. Or the correct pronunciation.
I'm not the best at my pronunciation, so don't...
No, but at least I have a starting point. I'm running around over here going, Rooibos? Is that what it's called? But Rooibos sounds much more, that sounds much better. So we're going to go with that.
I actually am so intrigued by this. I have a client who loves chai tea, but she can't have black tea right now. So I'm going to recommend this for her. There's no black tea in it, Lindsay. Hey, you know who you are. And I know that you listen to this. So take some notes.
We're back.
We're back.
Going to talk about frolicking in the forest for some herbs in your local area.
So, yes, before we had such tremendous technical difficulties, Meg, you were saying that this whole conversation, you were looking forward to it because you felt like you were going to learn how to forage through your backyard, which is kind of right, Lindsay, what you're going to be talking with us about. And I think I'm like kind of exaggerating, but not really, right?
Correct. Exactly. Yes. To all of that.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us who you are, Lindsay, and why in the world you are a safe person to talk to us about eating things that come out of our yard. Go ahead.
Awesome. That's great. So yeah, my name is Lindsay. I am a nutritional therapy practitioner and a nutritional herbalist. I've been practicing herbalism. So I'm not a clinical herbalist, but I
what I would call like a folk herbalist. So I do my own herbal teas and blends for myself and family and friends.
It sounds like you're more of an herb fairy than an herb doctor, which is great. I love that.
Yes, I love that analogy. I'm 4'9" too, so it actually fits the bill.
Yes, I love that.
Oh my God, the visual in my head. It's so perfect. It's so good.
Don't mind me. I have been rereading the A Court of Thorns and Roses series for like hard lately. So sorry.
I've heard that is so good. I should check that out. I've never really been into fantasy, but that sounds
like
fun.
Oh man. If for you or any of our listeners, if you love fantasy, if you love fairy porn, this is the series for you. Like, you've got
sign me up, please. Please.
Yeah, me too. Book club.
Yeah. No, really. We'll report back. Let's have a Accord of series book club, and we will report back on our subsequent episodes about where we are.
Okay. Something was just born into this universe. This is a great idea. Okay.
I'm thrilled about it, and I'm very sorry I interrupted you. I felt it was important. So please continue.
No, absolutely. So yeah, I've been making my own teas and tinctures for about 12 years now. So that was 2010, I think, when I first got into herbalism. And I've really just kind of taken a step back because I was learning a lot of everything. What's the word? Like correspondence courses online. And I never really had any in-person relationship with any of these plants. And I mean, a dandelion, which we'll talk about later, is one thing, but like I couldn't tell you what comfrey looked like in the wild or any other plant that I was using. And so that was really kind of what had me had a change of heart as far as making teas. I was selling on Etsy and like had my own little herbal business, but it just kind of didn't feel very aligned after I learned about
because you didn't feel familiar and connected with the actual plants. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I was ordering plants in bulk in dried form online, and they could be from anywhere in the world. Bulgaria, like Iran, like these plants are from everywhere. And it just really just didn't feel right to me to continue to use them in that way and without having that deeper relationship and knowledge.
I relate to that, especially given the particular topic, which is very sort of connected and grounded literally. It does feel like that would very easily be a mismatch if you don't feel that same connection to the plants. I actually, Lindsay, let me take a quick second. For people who may not be super familiar, what is nutritional herbalism? Like what? I think that's one of those things that kind of gets thrown out there and people kind of assume they know what that is. But I'd love to have you just explain it. Like, what is that? What do you do?
Yeah. So overall, herbalism is basically the study of medicinal plants and their effect on the human body. It's pretty broad definition.
Oh, it super sums it up. That's great.
Yeah.
I like
that.
Yeah,
it's super simple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be an herbalist, there's no like accredited situation. Like you, unless you do like Chinese medicine, there's a lot of, you can actually get a 4-year degree doing TCM, traditional Chinese medicine. But since there's really no accredited body, governing body over herbalism, it's kind of, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is just, it's all over the place. You can find a program that'll certify you as a nutritional herbalist for, and it's like a 300-hour program, or you can do one that's 10 hours, a weekend type of deal. So it's, yeah.
Okay, so it's not like something... It's not like these other programs that might have sort of a credentialing body, so to speak. Which I think
exactly. Now there is the American Herbalist Guild, and they are pretty much like that's the AHG. They're the closest thing to what we would have, and you can become a registered herbalist through them. But they're not going through. They have a list of herb schools that pay to be registered on their website, but they aren't like going through and validating or doing any of their own independent, I guess.
Got you. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just basically the use of medicinal herbs. And then as far as the nutritional side goes, it's learning how to use these herbs in your everyday life and not just in an acute situation where you're putting a Band-Aid on an issue. These are preventative. It's preventative maintenance and medicine.
And I'm picturing like an example of that would be like teas and how to add them to your food. And like, is that what you mean by everyday life, how to use them?
Yeah, exactly. Knowing what certain herbs do what. I would say anybody could have a small apothecary of like 5 to 15 herbs that you could reach for in any given moment. And sorry, I've got a plane flying over.
That's okay. They can edit that part. They can edit like, it out.
There's perfect. A gremlin gargling. Is
That's okay. You've got a plane overhead. I have a screaming husband. Like, it's fine.
These are like military jets, but usually they're only doing flyouts like twice a week. So I'm like, what's going on today?
It is Mercury retrograde, yeah. As we've established. So it's all right. Totally expected. Cheers to that.
Yes. Cheers. So yeah, that's pretty much where I think that's where we're at.
Okay. Yeah. So here's what I'm feeling super excited about, because as you mentioned before, these herbs, they come from all over the place. But what you're going to share with us today are how you can identify the things that are very likely actually literally in your backyard, or if not literally your backyard, in the surrounding areas where you might live. These are going to be super common things. You're going to share with us, what, 5? How we can identify them and what you can use them for, what their uses and properties are in our diet, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Can we go? I'm so excited.
Yeah. Let's do it.
One.
Do it.
Yeah. So like I said, I think just familiarizing yourself with just the native plants that grow around you and starting with your yard or your local park is going to be the easiest and most accessible way to do that. And before I got interrupted, I was by the plane. I was mentioning everyday herbalism. And yes, that does go towards like using a tea and knowing when to reach for a certain herb for a certain effect on your body. But overall, just nourishing, these plants have so many minerals and nutrients that we're just not getting as the diversity in our diet that we used to hundreds of years ago. So just these different minerals and micronutrients that you really can't find in our everyday vegetables. But yeah, so I would just start familiarizing yourself with where you're at in the world. And then some common medicinal weeds is a really easy place to start, because usually they grow very easily, you know,
right.
You don't really have to cultivate them. They're normally pretty easy to find. And then again, they're just readily available for you. So that's, yeah.
Before
and you can build a relationship with these plants. Like I talked about earlier, you're not just blindly going to the apothecary and buying a bag of lemon balm or whatever you like.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. Before we go into the weeds, I think is where you're going to start. I'm curious because I understand, again, like I'm way out here in the Pacific Ocean, in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
The apps that are made for the mainland just like don't work over here as the same way. But do you have, I'm thinking for those that are listening, that are hearing you say, familiarize yourself with the plants around you. In my head, I'm like, how on earth would I do that? Am I going to carry around a book and like try to figure it out? And then the idea of like a plant identifying app came to mind. So before we jump into the actual plants, I was wondering if you could share some of your favorite ways on how people actually can familiarize themselves. Is it an app? Is it a book? Like what are we looking at?
That's a great question, Meg. Yes.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Very good question. It's a very good question because it's honestly can be a little bit intimidating because it can be dangerous too. You don't want to go out and just randomly eat a leaf not knowing what it is.
Right.
Because a lot of our ornamental and like landscaping plants are actually really poisonous plants.
So that's check before you frolic.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah. And back people don't know.
Before frolic.
Back before frolic. I love that.
So you're going to find regional books that have the flora in your area. Like usually like where I live in Western Colorado, we would be on the west, the western or the western mountain region. Mm-hmm. And then in the East Coast, they have like Appalachia, and then they have like the Midwest type. So there's Southwest, there's different mm-hmm. areas, and then the tropical in Hawaii mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. In the wherever else in the world. But mm-hmm. there's definitely regional guides that I would encourage you getting, just so you have an idea. And the apps are getting better, but they are not good, honestly. Yeah. Like okay. It could get you into some trouble.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
I've taken a botany course, so I would not recommend this if you have access to like learn botany at a college or something. But one thing mm-hmm. that I have done, and it is pretty successful, especially in the summer when flowers are blooming, you just Google purple flower, Western Colorado, mm-hmm. and you're going to get quite a bit, but you're eventually going to find something that looks similar to what you're looking at. And then that can help you narrow it down. Mm-hmm. But in the plant, like that's something that I would caution as well. That's kind of frowned upon in like the herbalism and botany area, but you got to start somewhere.
Right. Yeah, totally. I imagine.
I think what you're saying too, like there's a difference between identifying and trying to start learning what the plants around you are and then eating them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. Also, like I would not casually eat even a dandelion from a local park. Like, all of the dogs that pee there, all of the things that get
sprayed
in the city, all of the people who pee there, who knows? Right? Like, these dandelions are not safe, but
no dandelion is safe.
Understanding though, and knowing what it can provide, and then growing that connection. And then if you should decide to order it and use it in another way, that's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
So go ahead and start sharing about what some of these are. I know that we keep saying dandelion, but I'm so excited for the other four, because quite frankly, that's the only one I know.
That's the only one I know.
Well, let's start with that one, since that is the most common, the easiest and identify and arguably has the most uses out of all of these here. So basically every part of the dandelion is either edible or medicinal. So you can use, it's definitely like the most common weed. I don't like to call them weeds because I find them useful, but they're like my
friend. They're useful weeds. They're useful weeds.
Yeah. Or weeds.
You know what? Magic weeds sounds better to me. They're like magic weeds. Yeah. There you go.
Sounds like weed, like magic weed. But let's just clarify, okay?
That's a plant too.
A weed, not the weed.
Right, a weed.
Yeah.
But Lindsay has a good point. That's a plant too.
It's also a plant.
It's medicinal.
But it's not casually growing in your park.
I'm in Colorado.
Maybe it is. I don't know. In Colorado it is.
I don't know. I got a couple names in my head. I'm pretty sure if you went in their backyard at any point, you would find some stuff.
Yeah, so you can understand the need for the clarification.
Yes. So back to dandelion. So they are a weed, not the weed. And they're found on every continent but Antarctica, as far as we know.
Wow, that's fascinating.
So I did some fact checking because you were like, what am I going to find in Hawaii? And I'm like, you have way more options than most of us do. And like I said, the whole plant of dandelion can be used. The root is a really popular bitter liver herb. So it's going to support your liver and your gallbladder and that bile production, and then release that bile and help you to digest meats and fats and all the dietary goodness that you're hopefully eating. Mm-hmm. Dandelion is a really popular component of a lot of bitters formulas that you'll buy off the shelf, and you can make your own for free.
Nice.
Quickly. And so it also purifies your blood. So it helps basically just cleanse and keep things moving in your system. And so the root can be actually, a lot of people will roast it in the oven. You can like chop it up and roast it and then grind it like coffee. And that's what I drink every morning is Dandy Blend, which is a way more expensive version of ground roasted dandelion root. It's a great coffee substitute for those of us looking to support our adrenals and who are worried about that caffeine as well.
Yeah.
So dandelion root is the bomb. I love it.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. And that's just the root. So you can use the leaves. I was actually going to grab some from outside, so a few little samples, but it's been raining all day, so I didn't really have a chance. to go for it.
That's okay. That's what the Google is for. Yeah. Kylie, I have to point out your sister, when I was talking to her this morning, she said, give it a Goog, and I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. That's how, I love that. For sure, that's a Becca thing. Give it a Goog. Yeah.
Shout out to Becca. Thank you for introducing that saying to me.
Forever so, now.
Yes. Yes. So for our listeners, give it a Goog if you don't know Goog what it would look like.
Actually, we're going to put links to a picture of all of these herbs in the show notes.
Great. Yes, that's a great idea. Yeah.
I mean, like a dandelion, we all know what this is, but I have no idea what the other four are going to be. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking, I'm going to be looking at them myself. So we'll put the links that I'm using in our show notes for you.
Love it. That. Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can eat the leaf. You can just eat them in your salad. They're pretty pungent. So I would add it like as an addition to a salad. You can saute them up like charred, something like that. Mm-hmm. You can make fritters. Like fritters. With the flowers. Yeah. Ooh. With the flour, you can like make a little water mixture with herbs and stuff and like put the little flowers in like a little fritter cake.
Do you have recipes, Lindsay? Like, have you ever created something like that where you have like a little recipe book or something?
But I don't like have them published anywhere at the moment.
Okay.
But that's a really great idea.
Yes, it is.
And there's so many resources out there that you can find as well.
Okay.
You can make all kinds of, I've seen people make jelly out of the flowers, wine, dandelion wine.
Dandelion wine. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's and fun.
Lindsay, people can buy dandelion leaves in the grocery store.
In the store.
Now I've seen them in the produce aisle. And I'm like, I'll be paying $3 a bunch for dandelion greens.
I love that is the thought for you. You're paying $3. Not that they exist, because most people, I encourage people to use dandelion in many different ways, but that's because I do digestive health, and it does everything you just said is exactly the reason, bile production and liver support, etc. And so the leaves, people, I have them throw it in soups, but they can also buy roasted dandelion root tea. And would that offer some of these same benefits? The same idea, right?
Yep, same idea. It's just going to be really supportive of just your liver function overall. And one of the reasons that coffee is also a medicine, it's a plant, again, it's a bitter. And when you're not hyping it up with sugar and cream, it's actually having that stimulating effect on your digestive system. So the root is very, very supportive, especially that just yummy.
This is important as a bitter and for digestion. Those of you who are listening also having digestion issues, bitters actually stimulate the release of things like you said, Lindsay, bile, but also our digestive enzymes. You can have a cup, for example, a cup of dandelion tea before a meal or with a meal and see if that helps with your digestion at all, right? This is something that people could do.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people make it into an infusion, which is basically a long steeped tea. So you would instead of just steeping it for 4 minutes or 10 minutes, you would steep it for 20 to an hour. And then you're going to extract a lot more of those medicinal constituents out.
Ooh, good to know.
Yeah. I love that. I'm usually dandelion. But that's great. Yeah. Yes, dandelion.
Throw this out there? Does anybody else listening have this relationship with dandelions? Growing up, if there was a single yellow head in the yard, my dad was just like, commit chemical warfare.
Yes.
Must not have a weed. Must cut the grass. Like, the neighbors shall not see. Right? Like, this, huge. And that has been my relationship with dandelions up until my adult life. I'm not kidding. I know I'm not the only one out there that feels we've all got a father who does something like that.
That's part of my passion is teaching how you can use these instead of using chemical warfare against these things and not fearing. Feed them.
Really, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's kind of interesting to me because it's to me, it's kind of like I almost, and this is a little woo-woo of me, but I don't care because this is how I am. I am a woo-woo person, but I almost see it as it's almost like the earth is like, no, here's an abundance of this medicinal plant that can do so many things. And that's why it's like categorize as a weed because it grows so easily and spreads so much. And we're over here like trying to kill it with Roundup and all these things. And it's like, no, wait, but like, here's more. It's almost just like the gift that we were not seeing as a gift for a very long time until it showed up in your produce aisle at the grocery store. And here we are. So
100%. Exactly. And it's something that is very ancestral. Like your great grandparents would have known how to use this, or maybe great great at this point.
Right. Very cool.
It's a very herbalist woo-woo type thing to have that concept that what you need grows within a mile of where you live. Like what your body craves, you're going to be able to find it locally, no matter where you're at in the world. There's something related to whatever, there's something that can help you. So
yeah. All right. So team dandelion so far. Yes. What else you got for us?
Yeah. Okay. So the next one is plantain. And it's not the banana plant.
I knew you were going to say that.
I didn't know. That's why I was like, I've never seen a plantain in the backyard. Why are we interviewing her? What is she talking about?
Yes. So this is plantago is the botanical name. I actually didn't include those here. I should have, but I just know that one. So plantago, Majora or Plantago lanceolata are the two common types of plantain, but it is a plant that grows in basal rosettes, which means it doesn't have a stalk with leaves. It just has leaves on the very bottom in like a round.
Oh, I see it. I'm also doing what Kylie's doing, and I'm giving it a goog.
Yeah. Lindsay, you're right. You guys, you see these everywhere. They're like the big bunches of leaves. They're not grass, but they often grow in yards or like around like dry patches is what I.
Yeah. And they have like when they flower every the second year. So they're biennials, but they have one little stalk that shoots out little like pokey little like.
Yeah, they do. Things. They're a little intimidating.
Yeah.
Near that.
Okay. Tell us how we can use this. What does this do? I can't believe that this has some sort of nutritional benefit. My mind is blown already. Okay, plantain, plantago.
This is so exciting for me. Okay, so plantain it's very soothing to your skin as well as your digestive system. And it's also an alterative, so it helps to purify the blood as well. And all these are going to have that in common. They're mostly very high in minerals, and they mostly do a work on the blood and your digestive system for the most part. Mm-hmm. So it actually is something that I use the leaf in I used to make salves and my muscle bruise and bite balm that I used to make this was the main ingredient in that. And so if you're out and you get stung by a bee out in your backyard, you can go grab a plantain leaf and make what we call a poultice. So you actually put that leaf in your mouth, chew it up, get those enzymes activated by your spit, and then put that chewed up plantain on your bug bite. And it actually has drawing properties. So it'll help draw that poison or splinter or whatever else out of your skin.
This is so much more information than I was planning on being invited into today.
I'm amazed. I'm ready for Naked and Afraid. I don't know about you. I'm ready for Naked and Afraid. Just put me somewhere. I'm going to chew up some plantain. Come at me, snakes. I will just, not really, but like kind of.
But even mosquito bites. It doesn't have to be a bee sting. Like it could be just a simple little itch or scratch or bite that you have. And this is like literally the most basic way to use plant. This is how our ancestors evolved to use plants is by just doing that, like chewing it, putting it on there,
I wonder if that would work the same because it has drawing properties. I wonder if it would work for like an inflamed pimple too. Maybe.
I haven't tried that, but that would definitely be something to investigate.
Yeah.
So listeners, see why not.
Yeah. Let us know, listeners, when you're foraging in your backyard, make sure you wash it first. I think, right, Lindsay? You wanna wash them. I don't know. Maybe.
If you feel like you need to.
I'm speaking
an emergency. Just do it.
Right. I'm speaking for myself because I live in a very urban area. So yeah. Talking about like the pollution from the cars and the
dog weeds, pee and the.
I personally would wash it, but don't if it's not. Anyway, I would love to hear feedback from those of you who try this.
Yeah. Do let us know.
Yeah.
Okay. And the seeds, I'm going to roll my computer. The seeds actually can be used as laxative. So the common ingredient in Metamucil is xylem husk, and xylem is plantain seed. It's its own Plantago xylem is its own species, but that seed is used as a laxative.
How would one get the seeds from like wild foraging? Is it one of those plants that just like drops its seeds and you can collect them, or?
So the flower has like a little stalk, just like with dandelion when you blow. Yeah. That's the flowers. Oh,
that's where the seeds are.
Or the seeds, okay. I mean, yeah. But the seeds of the plantain would be like, so that's kind of the hard part about foraging is like these seeds are like the size of a pin, like a needle point. So it's like very fine. You wouldn't ever separate that seed in nature. As an herbalist, I wouldn't do that. But
okay,
I see exactly what you're saying. And not to mention, to your point, it's only every other year that these plants produce the actual stalk with the seeds. Is that right?
Right. And they die after the second year. So if it's gone to seed, then I would take those. I would go ahead and harvest those leaves and dry them out to use them later because that plant's going to die next year.
Oh, okay.
So we'll come back. Yeah.
So this plant only lives for 2 years.
Yes.
So you better get it while it's hot.
I wonder why. Like, what a strange evolutionary reality. That's so strange.
Yeah, there's quite a few plants out there that will live and live either for 1 year or multiple years, and then as soon as they flower, they die. They just aren't alive anymore.
Okay, so plantain or plantago. All right, amazing. Okay, what is the next one?
So the next one is, I actually love this plant. I haven't found it in Colorado since I've moved. I used to live in Texas and it was all over. It's chickweed.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I've heard of that.
Chickweed.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. It's like, I think this botanical name is Scalaria, something like that. And it's because the little flowers look like little white stars.
Yeah, Scalaria. That's what it says.
Oh, good.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
We're all googling over here about the names of these plants. But this little guy is very delicate and pretty.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's one of those like border plants. It grows along like disturbed along the edges of your flower beds or like where the wet soil is common and kind of a disturbed area. And it's a spring plant. Usually you can't find it too late in the year, but it's one of the first like medicinal weeds that is available in the spring. So
cool. Okay.
Yeah.
What can we and do what, with this little guy?
Yeah. So this one is really good at your, again, digestive support, and it helps to like move things along. So it's kind of a mild laxative, I'd say, but it supports your kidneys as well, and in the urinary tract more so than the digestive tract. But
Would you use this for women who are prone to like UTIs, like just to drink more over something else? Like not obviously not using it as a cure or anything, but for someone if you are more prone to UTIs.
Chickweed, I'd say this one would be more of a food than a like herb that we'd want to use. So in the spring, like that's kind of the traditional, like in native cultures and traditional cultures, we wake up from the sun, from the winter, and then we do a cleanse, and everyone is like, all these herbs that sprout in the spring are really purifying and help us to like cleanse out all the stagnant energy from the winter traditionally.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can somebody order chickweed? Because again, most people aren't going to go to a random park and like start pulling this out and take it home to their families. Not that you couldn't, I suppose.
No,
tested what was and wasn't going on there. But is this something that you can order? Because I've never seen chickweed in a place.
I know. So I'm wondering actually, because I've never really looked for it on a web site on an herbal supplier, but it is more of like, I've never seen it dried that I know of. So it's going to be one that you, and this could be a market, listeners. Growing some of these weeds and then selling them at your farmer's market or something. But
wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Brilliant. You know, but yeah, so using it fresh, it's very tender. So I don't think it would like last very long as far as like you, it's just one of those plants. If you see it around, you go use it and then it's gone in a few weeks and you move on. But it makes a great pesto. So you just like basil or spinach or anything like that, you can add it with that or just make its own pesto by itself. Add it into your diet when it's in season.
I love that.
So,
amazing.
Big fan of pesto too.
Yeah, same. Anything you could turn into pesto, I'm like, yes. But I bet you could do like a chimichurri or even another type of herb dressing with it too.
Oh, so that's a great idea. Yeah. Maybe some chutney of sorts. Like Kylie gave me the eyes.
Damn, chutney. This is my chickweed chutney.
Yes. I love that.
Welcome to Meg's Kitchen. This is my chickweed chutney.
Doesn't that sound like a blog name? Chickweed chutney.
Like, I might steal that.
Yes. You're welcome to, because we are not using that. Yeah, so go for it. Nope. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we have dandelion. We have plantain. We have chickweed.
Yep. And then one last thing on chickweed, it can also be used as a poultice, like plantain, how you chew it up and use it on your skin. And it's really good for like rashes and also can be used for like swollen eyes or like any kind of pink eye, anything like that. You could make a poultice and then just put it on your eye, like just throw the herbs on your eye.
Let me just tell you, Meg and I both were like, my goodness, something to help our puffy eyes after the week that we both had. We both are like, there's the chickweed.
Both like, we're both like, can we get some chickweed, please? Thank you. ASAP. I'm going to make a poultice.
There
is something very satisfying about the thought of chewing up a leaf.
Yeah.
Putting it on something to heal.
It makes you feel like a badass. You're like,
a wild woman badass. That's what it is.
Lindsay, thank you. That's what it really was. I couldn't find the words. It makes you feel like a badass, like the healer that I feel I was in another life.
You probably were.
And are in this life, yes.
I seriously, let's not go down the rabbit hole because I will. Okay, great.
Yeah. Okay, so number four is purslane.
What is
this one? Purslane, P-U-R-S-L-A-N-E. And the botanical name is portulaca. And it's a really, you can actually find portulaca. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you can find that at your nursery as like a pretty plant that they put in.
You know. I've seen this all over the place. Is this, Lindsay, this kind of looks like a succulent.
It does.
So it's not a succulent, but it looks like one and it has very like succulent, like crisp leaves and stems.
They almost look kind of waxy.
Exactly.
I'm dying because one of the images that came up in the Goog is a purslane
leggings. I see it too. There's two options, by the way.
You can either forage for it or you can wear it on leggings.
Wear your leggings while you're foraging.
If you get a random package on your doorstep from Zazzle, you'll know why. Please accept it. It's from us.
I'll send you my address right now.
Shout out to Zazzle. Thank you so much for making these leggings. I honestly think I need them. Wow. I'm going to wear them while I go forage in the park or whatever for my wherever. Okay, go on. Tell us more about purslane.
So y'all are awesome. Okay, so purslane is, it is pretty, it's kind of a, it's succulent in its appearance, but it's not actually classified as a succulent, I don't think. But it's really high in antioxidants and especially omega-3s, which is not very common in the plant world.
Wow. That is super uncommon. I didn't know that.
I'm shocked. Like, now, do you, you might not know off the top of your head, but if you do, I imagine it being a plant, you would probably have to have a lot of it to get like a good amount of omega-3, or is it, Or, I mean, I don't know. I'm just curious. Is that
probably?
How it is?
I actually don't know the ratios and like the exact facts on that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think when they say like it's high in omega-3s, they're talking like pound per pound or ounce to ounce to like
that
another
makes sense.
Probably.
Yeah, So you're getting some if you're
in relation. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Perfect. Great. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then again, it's one of those plants, like it's normally around all summer. Like we have it here and it's another spring plant that you see pretty regularly, but it's really high in all those minerals we've already talked about, potassium and magnesium, especially. So it can be really helpful for helping you with your electrolyte and your balancing of your minerals.
Very cool.
And then it also contains quite a bit of calcium as well.
Wow.
Which is neat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is something that you can go to like a flower store, like a plant store, and actually purchase.
Probably. I would look at the type. You might, again, give it a goog and see if they have like the cultivar you're looking for. And you might actually just go buy a pack of seeds and grow your own because it's legit a weed.
That's perfect.
And you can grow it in a pot or just sprinkle some in your flower bed or whatever.
That is a brilliant idea.
Perfect.
Yeah. You can grow a lot of these in pots, though, on your balcony too. So
Daniel.
And that's perfect for those like myself who don't have yards and who maybe want their own little. You would be so proud of me. I bought like a little mini greenhouse thing to put that's out on my lanai, just waiting for me to put my little potted plants in there.
Love
I was waiting for this episode.
In my head, I was like, what are you waiting for, Meg? It's August. Like, what are you going to plant? But you live in Hawaii. So it's like, who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. But for those of you who do have actual seasons, let's get a move on. We're a little bit late this season.
Next year. Lindsay, when we're talking about purslane, if somebody were to grow this or have it and feel comfortable kind of foraging from their own yard, what is it that they're eating? Just the leaves, or do you eat the whole thing? Is it the root, the plant? What part of this are we using?
Yes, great question. I kind of covered that in the dandelion section and then never mentioned it again. So for purslane, you would eat all the aerial parts, which is all the above ground parts.
So the stem and everything.
Yeah, you can eat the stem. Now you might just want to pluck the little tender leaves off and just use those, but you can eat the whole aerial portion of the plant is edible. Mm-hmm. Same with the other two, chickweed and plantain. People do use plantain as well, but I haven't. I don't as often.
And would you add this to like a salad or mixed up in veggies? You wouldn't drink it dry in a tea, right?
Yeah. For purslane, basically you would eat it raw on top, like as a salad topping, or you can cook it, like stir fry it, add it to a stir fry. It is kind of has like a lemony taste and it has that good bitey texture. You can add it to soups. It's really good in soups. Mm-hmm. The only rule of caution would be to, if you're prone to kidney stones, it does have quite a lot of oxalic acid. So don't do it all the time. Only special treats here and there, and don't eat a lot at a time. I mean, that would be for all of these. Like they're very medicinal and you wouldn't want to eat like large amounts unless it's in the spring and you're foraging large amounts and you're living off the land. It's a totally different conversation.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Okay. Purslane. Nice.
Very cool.
Purslane.
Yeah.
And then the final one that I'm going to bring up today, and there's so many more that you could actually go into, but we're limited here. So is clover. And like either white clover is the most common or red clover is a little bit more medicinal, but they're both quite medicinal.
I didn't know that was a weed.
Well, and it's all in how you look at it.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. And so when you say red clover is, you're talking about the ones that have the little flower, right?
Yep. The little red, like kind of like poofy looking flower, like a pom-pom kind of.
And then
white clover is the exact same flower. It's just kind of white, creamy looking color.
Oh, this looks like those things that Eeyore eats.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? From Winnie the Pooh, right? Do you know what I mean?
been a while.
Yeah, this is exactly what it looks like.
That's funny. I had a dream about these like 2 days ago. I shit you not.
Flowers?
I was sitting in a field of, I thought they were called purple clovers, but I was sitting in a field of purple clovers, and here they are again. Oh my God.
Wow. That's a sign.
Yeah.
I'm Googling meaning of red clover. Hold on.
While you do that, tell us about red clover. What are we doing with it? How are we using it?
Yes. So clover in general is all about, again, blood purification. It is actually really helpful as an expectorant. So it can help to clear your throat. Like if you have phlegm or something like that, you can drink a tea to clear your throat. Or if you're a singer trying to prepare for your podcasting, etc.
I am dying because I have chronic sinus issues and like the throat clearing is a real issue for me. So the fact that my mind is blown. Kylie, what did the meaning say? Did you find out?
Yeah, it was a token of good luck. Hold on, I need to do a deeper search and I will.
Okay.
But that's probably your subconscious telling you that that's what you need for your health.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Wow.
Hold on. In the flower language of the Victorian era, the red clover flower meant protection, success, money, love, fidelity, consecration, and exorcism. It's quite a flower.
it's quite a spectrum.
Yeah.
This plant has many layers to it, if I may.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's insane. Okay. So we're going to, if I were to listen to this sign, how would I use this plant? Like what would I do with it?
Yeah. So I would say the best way to use clover would be to make a tea out of it. I would pick leaves and the flower. So when I'm foraging clover, I usually, because it'll have a little stem, and then I usually pick the two or four leaves down from the flower. So, So I'll pick I'll start from like two leaf nodes down on the flower, and then take everything from there up. So like the top two sets of leaves and then the top flower.
So what you would be left with when you cut is the purple flower, set of leaves, set of leaves.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Is that just for like preserving the plant reasons, or is there reasons why you wouldn't want to go further down?
I mean, you can. It's just honestly like you have to crouch pretty low. And I mean, I'm 4'9" again, so I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Taller folk out there might.
That's so funny. Okay, perfect. Good to know.
But yeah, it will also regrow generally from those leaf nodes that you clip it on. So that'd be helpful to keep the plant alive. But
yeah,
and then you can use it fresh, but you need a whole lot more when you're using the fresh plant. So I would just dry it, like either just set it out or put it in your oven at the very lowest setting if you don't have a dehydrator. And you're in the tropics, so it'd be really hard to actually dry anything.
Yeah. Well, I could sit it in the sun, like on a tray.
Oh, yeah.
Is that fine?
That'd be perfect. Yeah.
I also have an air fryer.
Yeah, whatever works. Yeah, just really low temperature is like the main for all of these plants if you're wanting to dry any leaves. Just lowest setting that you can find, or even just like sometimes before I had a dehydrator, I would like actually turn my oven on and then just turn it off. At the lowest setting. So it's at like 200, and then you turn it off and then set a tray of herbs in there, and that will make sure it doesn't get too.
That's crunchy. a great tool, actually. That's good. Yeah, right. Because you don't actually want to crunch them. You don't want to like roast them.
Yeah. You're not roasting. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that flame might. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really good. It helps. So where was I? So it's good. It might be able to treat gout, they say. It kind of helps like to get fluids moving. It is a woman herb, especially red clover. So it's very well known for like your uterus and just your women the parts of your body that need support.
That's right. I feel like I have read somewhere Aviva Ram stuff. You and I were talking about that, Lindsay, that it's a, it helps with
toning.
Toning, that's the word. All I could think of was astringent.
There's a name. Yeah, it's sort of astringent, but it has like a toning, uterine toning.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's basically a tonic. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it also can be estrogenic because it's in the pea family. So like any pea or legume can actually have estrogenic tendencies, like soy, for example. So keep that in mind if you have, like, if you're watching that in your body. But generally, most women do fine with it and, you know, can drink it. Yeah.
I feel like that's also one of the benefits of working with herbs. And you've said, and this is very true, that, like, of course, too much is a bad thing. They are medicinal herbs. They do have a lot of power, but I feel like you would probably really have to eat or drink or use a lot of them to get to the point. And that, so what I'm saying is I feel like that's another benefit of using herbs, is that it's just a little bit harder to get to the point of danger because of the amount, right, that you would use. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's a lot of these are seasonal. So you're not something you would do all day, every day, year round. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe 3 months out of the year you have access to some of this. So yeah.
Oh my God. I am just blown away. And I think I'm feeling called to just put it together with the whole point of our podcast and like why we wanted to have you on to interview you for this topic specifically is because our show is really, our goal is to bring tools to people to help that are health related that they probably didn't know was an option. And using herbs, particularly those that you have access to where you live, wherever you live, can be a really powerful way to help you in the day-to-day, whether it's digestion, whether it's toning your uterus.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But like, or...
No, sure not.
I'm not kidding. Preparing your podcast voice. Yeah. So any of that, like, I just think it's a really easy, affordable, accessible tool that can be used for a lot of different things. And it's a great way to connect to the land, which we did a whole episode on early on in the Curious Women podcast days.
Yeah. And Lindsay, red clover tea is something that is super available like at the store, right? You can just, it's like Yogi makes a version of this.
Yeah.
Like this is not an uncommon thing, right next to the dandelion tea, probably.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're
And that's just the easiest, the most simple entry point is your grocery store shelves. If you see it there, try it out. Mm-hmm. Like, I could go in a whole other soapbox about bagged teas and like why the quality is lower and blah, 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 blah. But just like I tell my clients, like accessibility is everything. So if all you have right now is, if that's easy for you and if that's going to get it done, then you buy that box of tea bags and you drink those tea bags.
I like that.
Yeah,
me too. People will beat themselves up over and over and over again about, myself included, about it needing to be perfect. Of a certain quality of it, and then it delays ever starting anything, sometimes perpetually.
Yeah.
So I like that. And also, Lindsay, speaking of your clients, how can people find you and what type of work are you doing right now with people? Like who are your clients and where can people find you?
Awesome. Yeah. So I am mostly on Instagram. My handle is at Wildcrafting Wellness.
And I love that handle. It's so perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, because I'm trying to just like wildcraft different, the nutrition and the herbs and the lifestyle and like build your own wellness plan out of all these things. So I am primarily working with women for adrenal exhaustion is a big one. And then of course, digestive health, which is kind of automatically you're going to focus on that with pretty much everybody. So we all need support there, just like all these herbs are here to help us with. Just kind of burnout and fatigue is really what I've been honing in on. And I love just helping women find their energy and vitality again through food and herbs, especially.
So. Absolutely amazing.
I think obviously, we all need you.
I'm here for you.
Especially Kylie and I this week. We're next in line.
I've been saying this, like, nutritionists need nutritionists. Herbalists need herbalists. Like, you can't do it all on your own.
No. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. no. And we're the hardest people to take our own damn advice.
Exactly.
Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm. I know. It goes back to the perfectionist thing. We don't have to go there. Lots of rabbit holes that we're stepping around today, ladies. Lots of
them. Do this again.
Oh, my God. Lindsay, thank you
so much.
Seriously, this has been, I've said this before, I love when we're interviewing people and I actually learned something that I wasn't expecting to learn. Yeah. It's always such a pleasure. And I'm super excited to share with our audience more of what you do. Mm-hmm. Anything to help us get connected to the world that we live in, truly.
Yeah.
I mean, this could go beyond the actual direct benefits of these herbs. This can go into stress management, anxiety, a sense of belonging, a sense of connectedness.
Connection. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
So, yes, Lindsay, we're on that. So, for all of those reasons, truly, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you both, Kylie and Meg. Thanks for the invite. And we had a great time today. I really enjoyed it. So I hope your listeners find some value here too. So
I'm sure they will.
You need to check out the unedited YouTube version of this because it was a total shit show. What you're hearing, like whatever podcast platform you're listening to, this is clear and cut. Check it out on YouTube. It's a
Mercury retrograde.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Thing. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you for your patience and flexibility too. It is Mercury retrograde and we did have a lot of problems. So thank you. And I'm so excited. Yay.
You guys, tell us what you think. Tell us what plants you try and any creative ways that you use it. And please, please, of course, tag Lindsay, let her know as well, and tag us. We'll be looking for it. You can tag us at the Curious Women Podcast, and we'd love to see it. Until next time, guys. Bye, bye. Lindsay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Curious Women. If you love our show, you can support us by leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And if you know someone else who would really love our show, please share it with them too.